What's going on, Clipper Nation? It is a solo positive Chuck Mockler in for you guys today. William, the opinion uptick, is working like the good, honest employee he is. I, you know, for your guys' sake, am not. So I'm here today to bring you guys Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Clippers podcast. We, of course, are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome to all the new listeners. You can find us on the Himalaya app, iTunes, all of those good podcast hosting areas. Give us a review if you're new. We welcome all the newcomers. The bandwagon is wide open. We're coming at you guys 5 days a week. Gonna be a little boring this week, if I'm being totally honest. There's not a whole lot going on. Most of our roster is filled out. We are gonna talk a little bit about some of those extra spots for some players who some people want to see added to the team in Clipper Nation. I pulled Twitter, got a bunch of responses for who should be on the team, and some pretty strong words about who shouldn't be on the team. Today is Twitter Tuesday, so I have some questions from Clipper Nation on Twitter. Will and I are also going to be live streaming later tonight on Twitter around 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. Come hang out. We're talking clips. I got questions from you guys today. We're going to be talking some closing lineup possibilities. There's a bunch of really cool stuff there. And then the end of the show is just going to be some loose ends. We talked a little bit about Trez's shoe deal yesterday. We forgot that he has an and one. We're going to dive into that. Jamal Crawford's been up in a couple articles here and there. And then, you know, I hate to pile on the guy, but I'm just, we got some Ryan Hollins hate that I have to get off my chest. He said some absolutely insane things today on ESPN. We'll get into that later, but for now, let's launch into some closing lineup stuff. I want to give a quick shout out to Grip 6 Belts for sponsoring the show. If you need a belt, which most likely you do, check out Grip 6 Belts. It's fantastic. They're cheap. They sponsor our show, so you know that they are smart people. So I was looking, I was just sitting at my desk kind of pondering some potential lineup ideas, and it's going to be interesting this year. Closing out the games is going to be a lot of fun to watch, especially kind of in the beginning of the season. Doc is a guy who, as most of us know, you know, likes what he knows, you know? And on this roster, it's going to be really interesting to see how he deals with having a bunch of new guys. You know, the bench is pretty much the same, but our starting lineup, you know, there's no more Shea, that one still hurts, no more Gallo. We just have a couple pretty key pieces who are new that Doc's going to have to learn to play with. And we're just going to be talking closeout lineups today. We're going to get into some actual lineups probably later in the week. We've talked about it before. But today we're just talking closeout. And I got, I was talking with someone on Twitter, and I also want to kind of reiterate this, that closeout and crunch time, two different things in this situation. So we're going to talk about kind of closeout lineups when we're losing, closeout lineups when we're winning. I'm not really taking, crunch time into a factor. That, I think most of us know, is going to be some combination of Lou, Paul George, and Kawhi show. Last year we obviously relied on Lou Williams a bunch with closeout lineups. Sometimes it worked great. You know, we all remember the Nets game with that fantastic buzzer beater, but sometimes it would just turn into kind of a ball watching party where he tried to save us or keep the other team at bay, and everyone was kind of standing around admiring Lou Williams' performance, which, can you blame him? He's fantastic. So now Doc can really choose between a bunch of pretty clutch and like big fourth quarter scoring guys. Our old closeout lineup, the most like relevant one I could find with all the turnover and stuff we'd had, was Lou, Bev, Shamit, Gallo, and Trez. They only played 10 games with this lineup. It was like 4 minutes together, but it was plus three. All the other most used lineups were from the Avery Bradley days, which I didn't even want to get into. But if you just look at that lineup, Lou, Bev, Sham, Gallo, Trez, if we just kept that lineup and you swap out Kawhi or Paul George for Gallo, it's a nasty lineup whether we're winning or losing late in the game. It adds maybe a small drop-off in shooting from Gallo, but it adds more defense with Kawhi or PG in there. It adds a whole nother ball handler you can give the ball to, and that's just changing one guy in that lineup. Doc can choose between a slew of these killer lineups, which is really great. In terms of some player clutch stats, Paul George was ranked 7th in player clutch from NBA. Lou was ranked 32nd, and Kawhi was unranked. If you're not worried about the clutch stat, which if you're me, you don't really buy into being able to stat clutchness, fourth quarter scoring is a really good way to go about it. It's pretty straightforward. I like this metric because it's pretty bare bones. It lets you know who's going to score and who's going to play in the fourth quarter. And we are doing pretty well in that aspect if you look at this team. In fourth quarter scoring last year, Lou Williams ranked 6th, Paul George was 7th, and Kawhi Leonard was 12th. So we have three top 15 guys in terms of scoring. And if you look at Paul George and Kawhi, very, 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 very good defenders as well. Going further down the list, Trez also ranks 30th. And so pairing Trez with Lou, you know, we've all seen the pick and roll and what that looks like. You know, all three of these guys are fantastic. If we're losing, we could maybe see all three guys out there. Lou's distribution, I think, would have to be, you know, really working that day for it to work. Sometimes he would fade in and out of being distributor Lou. I mean, when it works, it's fantastic, but, you know, sometimes it's just not there. So we use all three of those guys. We have Bev, who probably needs to be out there to cover Lou's defensive leaks, but then we still have Kawhi and Paul George. So, and, you know, in the five, we could do Jermichael, we can do Trez, we can do Zoo. That's a fantastic situation if we're losing in a closeout lineup. And then, you know, say you don't want, instead of Lou out there, we could even put Shamet out there for Lou, depending on the game flow. The amount of closeout lineups when we're losing is going to be so fun to watch because Doc has a bunch of creative ways to get us back into the game and flip the script on them. And if we're winning, we're just talking these three main guys right now, Lou, Paul George, and Kawhi. If we're winning, you probably take Lou, you know, off the floor just because of his defensive capabilities and rest and whatnot. But then you can have, you know, say you have Bev, Shamet, Paul George or Kawhi, Mo Harkless, and then Green. That's a really hard to score on lineup right there. And if Trez is feeling it defensively, you throw Trez in, maybe for Green, maybe you slot Green over to the four and get Mo out of there. But that's a lineup where only one of the big two, I guess, has to really play. In the beginning of the year, I think we are going to see a bunch of, maybe not weird, because as we've talked about this team before, any lineup you can kind of convince me is a good lineup. But in the beginning of the year, we're going to see some shuffling, I think, because Doc's going to want to figure out what he likes, and he's going to figure out what's most comfortable for certain situations. It's going to be fantastic. Let me know if you guys have any particular closing lineups you want to see. I'm not really sure how often we're going to see Paul George, Kawhi, and Lou out there together. Just all three. The situation seems interesting. I was talking with some people, again on Twitter, about who gets the ball in a last shot situation. And we know the abilities of Kawhi and Paul George, and we know the abilities of Lou. And in terms of clutchness, it's one of those things where I guess if I had to rank who the most clutch player is on the Clippers as of 11:40 a.m. on this fine July day, maybe it's just recency bias, but I would maybe still want Lou taking the last shot. I can't. That's just a gut feeling, if I'm being honest. Kawhi's close second. Paul George is third. I'm not going to get into any of the memes on Paul George's clutchness or his Gatorade commercials. But Kawhi, obviously, recently is all fresh in our minds. Hit the shot against the 76ers. Lou, as we know, is Lou Williams. He might be more of a, you know what? I'm going to do an immediate flip-flop now that I'm talking this out, and I'm going to say I want Kawhi to actually take the last shot. Lou is a fantastic build-up to maybe the last shot player. He's the guy who's going to get us through that fourth quarter. And then Kawhi would be, you know, I think maybe my point, or my number one guy to get us a bucket when we really needed it. Let me know who you guys think should get the last shot in this lineup. Let me know if you're going to flip-flop in the middle of your tweet when you send it, just like I did in the middle of this segment. But yeah, the closeout lineups are going to be really fun to watch this year. We're going to talk opening lineups maybe tomorrow, maybe tonight on the live stream at 7:30. Come hang out. But yeah, I'm really excited to see Doc kind of have some more, I don't know about freedom because he can always do what he kind of want to do, but just creativity with lineups. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. We're going to see some weird combinations. It's going to be fantastic. Coming up after this, I'm going to be getting into some questions from users on Twitter. Before that, I want to give a shout out to hotels.com. I will be traveling to Oregon in these next few weeks. Really excited about that. Found my hotel on hotels.com. I don't have to stay on the beach. You know, really looking forward to staying in a room as opposed to the sand. So welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. You might be listening to us on the Himalaya app. Shout out to the Himalaya app. You can move episodes around. You can rate them. It's a good time. So Twitter Tuesdays actually kind of got started yesterday. There was news that J.R. Smith was bought out by the Cavs. Interestingly enough, it was reported that the Cavs were trying to move him up until the 5 p.m. deadline, but unsurprisingly couldn't find a trade target, which I think makes sense. I don't really know what J.R. Smith brings to the table. He's an okay shooter. I mean, when he's motivated, I guess, but it just... there's nothing there, I don't think. He's not even going to go to the Lakers, as everyone was joking, to reunite with LeBron. That's not going to happen. But I asked Clipper Nation on Twitter if they wanted J.R. Smith on the vet minimum, because, as a lot of people have talked about, we might need a backup point guard or something like that. And the ranges of answers were on the scale from polite no thank yous to very not polite no thank yous. And I presented this without comment. I was on everyone's side. I also don't really want J.R. Smith on this team. But the amount of vitriol that was spewed for J.R. Smith was very funny to me. I guess he gets a bad rap. I don't know. He really messed up that game, one of the finals. That goes down as maybe the most perfect game of basketball I've ever seen anyone play in LeBron James. And then it's just completely ruined by J.R. Smith. Oh man, good times, I guess. But no, I don't think we need J.R. Smith. I'm not even sure what role he would fill. But yeah, I hope he finds a team, I guess. Seems like a good enough dude. Let's get to some actual questions from some Twitter users. From Albert Richmond, this is one we've seen a couple times, is Man gonna get backup point guard minutes this season? I don't know. I think I want him to see, for those of you who are listening, if you're new and you didn't catch Summer League, Terrence Mann, was a second round draft pick for us who absolutely... really outperformed his draft position, seemingly, in Summer League. His distribution was very good. I think he was second in the Summer League this year in rebounds or something, which is pretty impressive for someone who is 6'6 and was running the point for the most part. But I'm not sure, backup point guard minutes wise, you know, who he takes minutes from. Maybe he takes minutes from Lou out there. But I guess that would maybe be in a situation where I obviously don't need, premium scoring. But I think he could maybe find his way up into the roster. I don't know. That's a tough one. I want to see it happen, but I almost would rather have him get a whole year under his belt, maybe in the G League, doing his thing, playing with Fee, getting comfortable with, you know, your old teammate and your new teammate, getting comfortable with the pro game and whatnot. We did sign Mann to a pretty hefty contract, 4-year contract, 2 years guaranteed. I think it was $6.5 million or something like that. So for a second round pick, they seem pretty high on him. He also didn't play the second to last game of Summer League. None of the actually rostered players played the last game, but he also sat out the second to last game, not because of injury, but just because they didn't, you know, they wanted him to rest up for the season, I'm assuming. So there's a chance we might see him at backup point guard minutes, but I don't know. We all know Doc is kind of stuck in his ways and might stick with the old guard. This is the guy, for all his positives last year, did play Avery Bradley way too much in front of Shea and Beverly. But I don't know. It remains to be seen. I think Jerome might be higher on the pecking order than Terrence Mann, just based on the fact that he's played, you know, he knows Doc a little bit more. He's just been on the team one more year. So that will be an interesting kind of juxtaposition with Mann and Jerome in terms of who's going to be battling it out for minutes. One of them is going to absolutely destroy in the G League this year, so that's great. Another question from Albert Richmond, again about the rookies. Is Fee going to see court time over Green or Harkless? I can't imagine Fee seeing minutes over Jamichael Green specifically. Harkless, maybe. I'm not sure. Harkless, still only 26, plus defender, is a fantastic guy to just be thrown into a lineup and told, hey, just defend. That's all you really got to do. Move the ball to one of the other scoring options, because there's a bunch, and that's fine. Do your thing. So maybe Harkless, but I don't see him getting it over Green. Green started in the playoffs for us. Green always seems to be in the right place at the right time. He can play kind of a stretch five role. Fee does have a good looking shot, but he is new to the NBA, and that shot did look good in summer league, so maybe take that with a grain of salt. But I don't think he takes any time over Green. I would actually be kind of, unless Green is playing really bad, I think I would be kind of upset if he saw time over Green. There would have to be a situation where Green is playing horribly, Fee is playing absolutely out of his mind, and Harkless is somehow already usurped in this situation. Would it be fun to see? Yeah, in the right situation for sure, but I just don't want to see it be a detriment to the team at all. I'm really excited for Jermichael Green's season this year. One more note on Jermichael Green, actually. A lot of people have commented we haven't officially announced Jermichael Green yet. We signed him July 8th, I believe. And I don't have any news on this. I'm assuming it's maybe just a physical issue. They just haven't had him take it yet or something like that. I don't think it's anything to be worried about. But when that gets announced, we'll obviously have that information for you guys. Next question is from Giants on the Moon. Fantastic, fantastic username. Do you guys know anything about the Lakers hiring Phil Handy as an assistant? Clippers supposedly had interest. It raised any eyebrow because he did player development last year for the Raptors, and so he has a Kawhi connection. I don't really care that he has a Kawhi connection. Kawhi is on our team for the next 2 years. I think it would actually benefit everyone in Clipper Nation if we just stopped even thinking about the fact that the Lakers might be able to get him in 2 years. There's no reason to worry that they have a Kawhi connection. We didn't have a Kawhi connection and managed to sign Kawhi, so his connections don't matter effectively. I guess it's good they hired a player development guy. I don't really know who on their team needs to be developed, considering it's a bunch of veterans and they have no draft picks in the future. I mean, I guess it seems good. I don't know. I didn't know the Clippers had eyes on him. If they do, obviously, he must be a very smart person who's very good at his job. But yeah, not a whole lot of info on this, other than just don't be worried about the Kawhi connection. It's going to be totally fine. He's on our team for 2 years. Let's enjoy these 2 years. If you've gotten a Kawhi jersey yet, let us know. I'd like to see that maybe in the old San Diego colors. That'd be pretty cool. Raz49ers, frequenter of the live stream, will be on there later tonight. Hope he comes to hang out. This is a great question. For some people might not know, he just wants to know, what exactly is a pick swap? Pick swaps are like the hottest thing in NBA trade trends right now. I think it's really funny. All of a sudden they're just like, oh, we'll add this fun little swap in. It's kind of like getting an extra first round pick, I guess, or just a better one. So a pick swap, say Raz49ers, you and I trade a couple of players in a pick swap in the 2025 draft. Say you get the 12th pick in the 2025 draft and I get the third pick. You can just switch with me. You can just say, hey, I want that third pick, and it's mine now, and that's effectively what happens. It's pretty self-explanatory, but some people might not know. So the pick swap's the thing we have. I think we had a couple of those with, we gave them to OKC, so they're probably not going to use them, considering they're going to be worse than us, so I don't know why they would trade down. But, yeah, the hottest new thing in NBA trades is pick swaps. One more question I had from a couple people, what's going on with the broadcasters? I don't know. I think Brian Seaman's going to be the number one guy. I'm going to get into some Ryan Hollins talk in the next segment. I think it's going to be Brian Seaman. I really hope it is. They're going to need to hire someone for a radio show, we hope. But when we hear any chatter about that, we will let you guys know. Coming up after this, we're going to be tying up some loose ends. And I'm kind of getting on my soapbox about Ryan Hollins, but first, I want to give a shout-out to Untuck It Shirts. They are button-down shirts, made to look good untucked. Fantastic idea, great execution. Get your Clipper casual on in an Untuck It shirt today. So welcome to Loose Ends, I guess, Tuesday's Loose Ends segment. This Loose End, I'm kind of having an issue. I need Ryan Hollins to stop going on programs that talk about basketball, that give you hypotheticals. Today, Ryan Hollins said that Rajon Rondo, he would rather have Rajon Rondo than CP3 because he think Rondo has more left in the tank. You know, that seems dumb as hell. I think I would much rather have CP3 on any team. He's a better distributor. He's a bit of a dick. So is Rajon Rondo, but that's crazy. earlier in the year, he said he'd rather have, of anyone on the Warriors, if it was a life or death shot, he'd have Iguodala take it. I'm just tired. He represents the Clippers, and I'm tired of him being on TV saying dumb things. It's just really frustrating. Maybe I'm being petty. Maybe it's a slow news day. But it's just frustrating to watch someone who's very clearly associated with the Clippers say these insane things, and everyone's just laughing at him. I will gladly say insane things. You could probably pay me less than Ryan Hollins, but just maybe cool it on the hot takes, Ryan. Or I guess keep doubling down. I don't know. He feels kind of like Paul Pierce light right now in terms of his takes, and I don't want that to be part of the Clippers' current legacy. We don't need anything for people to bag on us for, okay? Shout out to Trez for getting an and one deal. We were spitballing yesterday where he'd end up. I think we may have talked about it in some other episode, but we just spaced it out due to the droll of the offseason. He's going to and one. Everyone go get a pair of and one shoes. I'm personally hoping for Dada shoes to come back, get some of those spinning rim ones. Couple more free agency loose ends. Jamal Crawford has been on the lips of a bunch of Clippers fans, it feels like, the past couple of days. As a vet min guy, it'd be cool. I'm not totally against signing Jamal Crawford for the min. It'd be nice if he got a ring. We could give him, put him in good position and get one. But I'm just not really sure what role he plays. Scoring depth, that would be good. However, he doesn't play defense. He doesn't really distribute. I guess it would just kind of be like trade off between Lou and Jamal, who's playing better and scoring well. But I don't know, man. I mean, the fit is kind of there. The story is nice. But again, he doesn't really distribute. I don't know. Vetmin seems fine. He'd be a good locker room guy. We are kind of getting into this weird realm of free agency where we're like looking at guys we want to give a ride off into the sunset in terms of Iguodala, Jamal Crawford, and Sean. And we're looking at Sean Livingston. It's just like, it's kind of cool, I guess, but I'm not really sure who we're going to find depth-wise. A lot of people have talked about Joakim Noah, which I think is such an interesting take. I would maybe actually be more partial to him than Dwight. We talked about him yesterday. Joakim Noah would be a good mix. He's obviously a veteran leader. He's intense. He can teach the new guys some stuff. I think he'd fit well with the locker room. He seems like definitely he's got some Clippers player DNA type in him in terms of the hustle and whatnot. Just would hate to see him shooting those free throws. That would just that would not be a fun time for anybody involved, I don't think. Guys, that about wraps it up for me. Thanks for hanging out with a solo positive Chuck Mockler today. Again, welcome to all the new people. It is fantastic to have you. We are going to be live streaming tonight, 7:30 p.m. Pacific on Twitter. Just William the Opinion and I talking clips. Send us questions. Come hang out. Let's think about how the season's going to go. Let's talk close out lineups. Let's do it. Tomorrow's episode, we're going to have a What Could Have Been Wednesday for you. And then just recapping whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. One more time for you guys. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. Talk to you guys tomorrow.